Now is the time.
Everyone please observe. The fasten seatbelt and no smoking signs have been turned on. Sit back and enjoy your...
Do not panic! Do not panic! We are trained professionals!
The clock is ticking, and as of now, we are keeping score.
Good morning. Welcome to a very, very excited and live edition of SST Saturday Sports Talk. I am your host, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything in the world of sports. So, first of all, hopefully you all had a great Thanksgiving. That was a few weeks ago. And unfortunately, that Saturday, I was unable to be with you in one of my several jobs. I am actually a live broadcast engineer and I had the honor and privilege to go and travel with the Temple men's football team to Tulsa, Oklahoma, when they took on the University of Tulsa in a very big game, and I will give you more details on that. They were victorious, and it was an honor and a privilege to see a different side of the Temple football team. So I'm very excited that I was able to go do the broadcast. The team won. We came back. Everybody had a safe trip. There were a few injuries. I think everybody will be ready for the bowl game coming up. And so we will definitely get into college football as they are winding down on the road to the national championship. And it was a great time. And so hopefully we'll be able to share some more of that information with you. There's a possible, very strong possibility of going to the bowl game as well. So I look forward to that and bring a report back here to you. And it was so funny. One of the highlights of the trip, I actually had to sit next to the broadcast team, Harry Donahue, the legendary Hall of Fame announcer. And if he's not in the Hall of Fame, he needs to be. He does Temple football and basketball, and just an outstanding guy. And so he was sitting to the right of me, and Paul Palmer, former running back for Temple, is the color commentator, sat to the left of me. And so during the broadcast of the game, and I meant to have the audio ready, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. And I've said this before, and when Paul said it, I just smiled, and I told him on the flight back, I said that I'm definitely going to use that. I'm definitely going to give you credit because I've been saying that. You have to play well on all three sides of the football. Offense, defense, and special teams. And Paul said that during the game, and I just smiled. And, you know, so we had a good chuckle about that. So hopefully I'll have that for you next week. So let's get right into the show. So finally, my Flyers have gotten a little bit better, and I'm very happy that they are playing better. So they started out losing the last time we did our program on Saturday, November 18th, losing in overtime to the Calgary Flames. Then they lost to the Vancouver Canucks 5-2 Tuesday the 21st. Wednesday the 22nd, lost to the Islanders. Then they had right back on that Friday, losing 5-4 in overtime. Continued losing on Monday the 27th to the Penguins in overtime. They were actually leading the Penguins. The Penguins, I think, scored maybe two or three goals within a matter of like 2 or 3 minutes. Something that doesn't need to happen in professional sports, even college or high school sports. When you have a lead like that, you have to be able to have your defense simply clamp down and stop the opposition from scoring. That's what defense means, to stop your opposition from scoring. So, unfortunately, they couldn't do that. Then they continued to have some wounds playing the San Jose Sharks on the 28th. They lost 3-1, lost in a shutout to the Bruins last Saturday, December 2nd, 3-0. Now they go out west to Canada. Monday, December 4th, they beat the Flames 5-2 in Calgary. Continue their winning ways Wednesday against the Edmonton Oilers, beating them 4-2. And then beat the Vancouver Canucks Thursday night 4-1. So with a record of 11 wins, 11 losses, they have to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who come in 18-10. So that game is coming up on December 12th. So hopefully they can continue to play well. This next stretch of games is going to be tough. The Sabres come in. They only have 7 wins, so hopefully that will not be a trap game for them, if you will, and they can win that game. Then you have the Dallas Stars. Or did they move to Minneapolis? I can't keep up. Hockey teams move a lot. So sometimes the team may be in Minnesota, then they move to Dallas, they move back to Minnesota. So it's one of those things you have to keep up with sometimes. Then they have the LA Kings, who are playing very well with 19 wins. So the next couple games will be some strong tests for the Flyers, and we hope they can get it going. Jumping over to basketball, the Sixers. Sixers are playing well. Sixers are winning some games, and they're losing some close games. But with a young team, you're expecting that to happen. So just recapping where the Sixers have been over the last several weeks. They had the Warriors at home on the 18th, the last time we were here with you. They lost the game 124-116. They had a nice lead. Unable to hold on to that lead, and I'm sure they will learn from that during practice and game films and going forward. And Golden State Warriors, I mean, they're a great team. So you expect them to win a game, but, you know, they were in our building and the Sixers had a chance to win the game. Unfortunately, they did not. Then they took on the Utah Jazz on the 20th, beat them 107-86, continued stepping on teams, beating the Portland Trailblazers 101-81 on the 22nd. Last set, two series ago, the 25th, beat the Magic 131-11. Cavaliers came to town, sell out on the 27th, 113-91 loss. As expected, I guess, that people thought LeBron James and the rest of the Cavaliers would do was simply just come in here and let them know, hey, we are still the powers to beat in the Eastern Conference. Not a bad game, just a game that, you know, hopefully once again the Sixers will learn from and continue to improve, which they did. They came back and beat the Wizards 118-113 on the 29th. Then they lost to the Celtics 108-97 on the 30th. The Celtics seem to be one of the powers in the East as well. Last Saturday, the 2nd, they beat the Pistons 108-103. Lost on Monday, the 4th, 115-101 to Phoenix Suns. Lost a very tough game against the Lakers 107-104 on Thursday. They have Cleveland again tonight at 8 o'clock. Sixers have a great record of 13-11. Cavaliers have a record of 18-8. And the reason why I say it's a great record is because a lot of people didn't think that this team would be able to do the things that they're doing and probably thought that they would be a lot worse than what they are. But they're actually in close games. They're over 500. It's a young team. They still don't have all the players. They just made a trade a few days ago. So it goes back to what I've been saying all season long. You have to stay healthy, number one. Number two, you have to have your players know where other players are when plays are called. So if you're healthy and you're playing well together, you'll win games. And unfortunately, the case you have with Joel Embiid still not really being at 100% in game shape just means that he'll continue to improve and hopefully stay healthy, and then you'll be able to see what this team really can do. Markelle Fultz isn't playing right now. Like I said, they just made a trade the other day. So a lot of things are going on with that. I'm not sure if I'm ready to get into any Eagles talk just yet because I'm a little fired up. I'm a little fired up about what's going on with the Eagles in a good way. I still think this team has a chance to be the number one seed in the NFC and have a chance to really go deep in the playoffs, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to, as they say, jinx the team and continue to go into other things like that, but we'll see. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take your calls, 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832.
This is Bernard the Executioner Hopkins, the undisputed middleweight champion of the world. You are listening to the Saturday Sports Talk Show with Troy Wilmore.
And welcome back to SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I am your host and producer, talking about anything and everything in your sports world. A little rusty there, coming back after a two-week hiatus, if you will. Quick story about that. I was actually trying to pre-record just to keep you up on the sports news and information for the week. So I had recorded the first week, which was Thanksgiving weekend, computer issue, unable to finish uploading it. Last week I uploaded it, and then the delivery system didn't register that it was uploaded, but it was uploaded. It just never made it over to the broadcasting link, if you will, and was unable to give it to you. So having almost roughly 3 weeks of sports news and information, I'm a little bit all over the place when it comes to sports news. And that's okay, because I have a lot to catch you up in case you might have missed it. Some things that you probably didn't hear on some of the mainstream sports, and just some things that probably flew under the radar. So let's dive right back into it. So college football. One of the notes that I had was that the Texas A&M football team fired their head coach. He was under the radar of trying to right the ship, if you will. And unfortunately, Texas A&M, they weren't patient. He had a good record, and now he's being considered for the head coach at Central Florida. So we'll see where Ken Sumlin goes this season. But a name that you're all familiar with, a name that will live in Philadelphia Eagles coaching lore and history, has landed on his feet. That is Chip Kelly, a 5-year deal with UCLA. So now Chip Kelly is back into the coaching ranks. He had a stint as well after he left the Eagles with the San Francisco 49ers. And so it is one that college experts are happy about. They also believe that he will be able to turn that program around. They believe that he will have that team right back into the powerhouse for UCLA. UCLA was a powerhouse years ago and hasn't really done a lot since about 15, 20 years ago. They've been competitive in some games, but they really have not been that powerhouse. So it looks like now with Chip Kelly on board, they're going to really invest in the program. I was actually at the Army-Navy game Media Row festivities yesterday, and former UCLA coach Rick Neuheisel said that he believes UCLA will go out and spend money to improve that program, whether it's nutrition, whether it's strength and conditioning, the facilities, just different things that Chip Kelly actually brings to their program. We all know that when Chip Kelly came with the Eagles, he changed some things around with the team as far as diet and conditioning and strength training. So they believe that Chip Kelly can do that for UCLA and get them back on track. So we'll see what happens with that. So let's go over the bowl schedule, because the bowl games will start up very, very soon. There are about 624,000 bowl games. Just kidding. But the bowl schedule is out, and we will give you those games. So coming up next Saturday, starts off with the Celebration Bowl, Grambling versus North Carolina A&T, down at Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Stadium at noon. Then at 1 o'clock, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans has the R.L. Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Troy, not me, but Troy University versus North Texas. You also have the Auto Nation Cure Bowl, 2:30, Camping World Stadium, Orlando, Florida, Western Kentucky versus Georgia State. The Las Vegas Bowl is number 25, Boise State versus Oregon. The Gilden New Mexico Bowl is next Saturday, 4:30, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Marshall versus Colorado State. 8 o'clock in Montgomery, Alabama, at the Crampton Bowl in the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, Middle Tennessee versus Arkansas State. Then on December 19th, you have the Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. I have no idea what that is, but it will be held at the Howard Schnellenberger Field at FAU Stadium, Boca Raton, Florida, Akron versus Florida Atlantic. On December 20th, the DXL Frisco Bulls, Louisiana Tech versus Southern Methodist University, a.k.a. SMU. The December 21st game is one that I hope to attend and enjoy and bring back a Temple victory, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, Temple versus Florida International Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, Florida. December 22nd, I actually wish I was going to this game, UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham versus Ohio, Thomas Robinson National Stadium in Nassau, Bahamas. And then you have in Boise, Idaho, December 22nd, 4 p.m., Central Michigan versus Wyoming in Boise, Idaho, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. I don't know what the weather is in Boise, Idaho in December, but it might be cold out there. December 23rd, the Birmingham Bowls, Texas Tech versus South Florida. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl is San Diego State versus Army in Fort Worth, Texas. The Dollar General Bowl, Appalachian State versus Toledo in Mobile, Alabama. Christmas Eve, you have the Hawaii Bowl, another game that I would like to go to. Fresno State versus Houston, the Hawaiian Tel Federal Credit Union Field at Aloha Stadium. A lot of corporate sponsorship names in these stadiums, so now you see what happens with some of these bowl games as well, because they also get some sponsorships. December 26th, Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl, Utah versus West Virginia. Then you have the Quick Lane Bowl, Duke versus Northern Illinois in Detroit. The Cactus Bowls, Kansas State versus UCLA. UCLA is trying to get their program back on track, and maybe this will be the start of that. That is 9 o'clock on the 26th, Chase Field in Phoenix. December 27th, Walk-On's Independence Bowl has Southern Mississippi versus Florida State in Shreveport, Louisiana, Independence Stadium. The New Era Pinstripe Bowl is Iowa versus Boston College at Yankee Stadium in New York on December 27th. And if you look outside your window now here on the East Coast, you see the snowflakes. Who knows what that can look like in about 2 weeks. Foster Farms Bowl, Arizona versus Purdue in Santa Clara, California at Levi Stadium. Academy Sports Outdoors Texas Bowl is Texas versus Missouri, almost a home game, as they will be playing at NRG Stadium in Texas. December 28th is the Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman. Virginia versus Navy in Annapolis, Maryland, a home game pretty much for Navy as well. Camping World Bowl, number 22, Virginia Tech versus number 19, Oklahoma State. Camping World Stadium, Orlando, Florida. The Valero Alamo Bowl, number 13, Stanford versus number 15, TCU, Texas Christian University in San Antonio, Texas. That game should be a good one. This is where the games start to pick up as far as competition. San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl, number 18, Washington State versus number 16, Michigan State in San Diego. December 29th has the Belk Bowl, Wake Forest versus Texas A&M. The Hyundai Sun Bowl, number 24, NC State versus Arizona State in El Paso, Texas. Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl is Kentucky versus number 21, Northwestern in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, Utah State versus New Mexico State in Arizona. Close game there for New Mexico's fans. Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, number 8 USC versus number 5 Ohio State in Arlington, Texas. That right there is going to be a good game. December 3rd, the Tax Slayer Bowl, Louisville versus number 23 Mississippi State. AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Iowa State versus number 20 Memphis. The PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, one that a lot of fans in Pennsylvania are rooting for and probably will make the trip to Glendale, Arizona, University of Phoenix Stadium, as number 11 Washington takes on number 9 Penn State. The Capital One Orange Bowl, pretty much a home game. Here we go again. Number 10 Miami versus number 6 Wisconsin, Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, Florida. Might be a lot of green and orange in that stadium on that game. New Year's Day has the Outback Bowl, Michigan versus South Carolina in Tampa. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl is in Atlanta. Number 12, University of Central Florida versus number 7, Auburn. The Citrus Bowl presented by Overton's is number 14, Notre Dame versus number 17, LSU in Camping World Stadium in Orlando. The National Championship Games. They are getting downright ready for some great games. January 1st, College football playoff at the Rose Bowl game presented by Northwestern Mutual has number 3 Georgia versus number 2 Oklahoma. After that game is done, college football playoff at the All-State Sugar Bowl, number 4 Alabama versus number 1 Clemson. After those four teams battle it out, college football playoff national championship presented by AT&T on January 8th, 8 p.m., Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta. Anybody following college football? I said this before. We don't really have too many college powerhouse football programs here in Philadelphia. But I know we have listeners all over the country, all over the world. So anybody really looking forward to any of these bowl games? I am. I mean, you have some outstanding teams, outstanding programs, legendary programs that are playing well. Alabama got beat by Auburn. You had that shootout with Central Florida and South Florida. Clemson realized what they had to do against South Carolina to get back into the picture after having a loss on their record. Auburn, you know, just did what they had to do against Alabama. So, you know, I want to talk a little college football. And after we take this quick break, because it's the end of the first quarter already, we'll talk about the game that matters more to a lot of college football fans than the national championships. And that's pretty much the America's game, as I've nicknamed it. Army versus Navy. Long-standing tradition. Today, 3 o'clock, Lincoln Financial Field, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Army, record of 8-3. Navy, a record of 6-5. You know, this long tradition is here in our city, and I'm sure it's going to be a sellout, going to be watched by millions. Those, unfortunately, that are serving abroad, and those that have served, and those that may serve one day, this game means a lot. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think at the end when they sing their alma maters, it's just going to be a sea of tears, especially for the seniors, because they know it's time to go and leave the program. I actually got a chance to see David Robinson yesterday, who went to the Naval Academy. And so, you know, all eyes at 3 o'clock will be on Army versus Navy. I'm definitely going to watch it as well. I'm glad I'm not down there. It's a little bit too cold for me. But we will be back in just a minute.
listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
And welcome back to SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I am your host and producer, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything in the world of sports. Yes, Army-Navy game today here in Philadelphia, 3 o'clock. The cadets, the midshipmen, simply an outstanding rivalry brought to you by USAA. Just a fantastic organization and a fantastic rivalry. And, you know, I'll be looking forward to watching it. Have to find a nice game meal to watch. Probably have some popcorn and maybe have an adult beverage or maybe some apple juice. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to it. Their offenses are similar. They don't really throw the ball a lot. But it's going to be fun to see. These young men, they play with passion. They are going to bowl games. They very rarely get into that conversation about being a ranked program or being in the national championship picture, because Army, Navy, they don't go out and recruit stud football players. A lot of times the players will choose Army, Navy because of the commitment to service once they graduate. So you probably won't go out and get that high school All-American quarterback who's thrown, you know, 40 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in a season, takes his team to the state championship. Very rarely will they go to Army, Navy. So you get young men that will play for you and that are committed to serving our country. So it will be interesting to see how this game plays out. ESPN, I forget the name of it, I think it's College Game Day. They change the names of these shows a lot. But they are broadcasting live from Lincoln Financial Field. The tailgate is underway. They're just having a great time down there. And we wish them all well. We wish them a great game, a very competitive game. And it should be. Army's 8-3, Navy 6-5. Army won last year after breaking the streak of Navy for several years. So we'll look forward to watching that game a little bit later on. Baseball is heating up, and it's not even time to even consider spring practice, because I think there are 67 days left. So you got about 2 months. You know, basketball season just started. Hockey just started. Football's in full swing. College football is winding down. And normally it'll start to pick up with baseball talk around the end of middle of January. But it looks like the New York Yankees and Miami Marlins are negotiating the final terms of a trade for Giancarlo Stanton, the reigning National League MVP. Can you imagine him going to New York and hitting home runs in Yankee Stadium? I think Yankee fans are looking for another one of those championships, and they may actually have it. Experts seem to think that the Yankees would have been better served to go out and get more pitching, which has definitely been one of their strong suits over the years that have gotten them so many World Series rings and banners. But, you know, players like Stanton are rare. So having him and Aaron Judge in the same lineup, I think, will give other teams nightmares. So Stanton is owed almost $300 million over the next 10 years. So it looks like Stanton did not want to waive his no trade clause to go to St. Louis or San Francisco. So there is a possibility that Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge will play together and become just the second pair of teammates in Major League history to have hit 50 home runs in the previous season. Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle did it for the Yankees in 1962. Stanton's only the sixth player to win the MVP while playing for a losing team. He led the majors the past season in home runs with 59, 132 RBIs, 91 extra base hits, and a slugging percentage of 631 which is a Marlins single season record. His 59 home runs were the most in the major since 2001, when Barry Bonds hit a record 73 and Sammy Sosa had 64. If Stanton agrees to the deal, he would join sluggers Aaron Judge, who led the American League with 52 home runs, and Gary Sanchez, who hit 33 for the Yankees. Only time will tell. One of the other things that came out of Major League Baseball yesterday, and social media was all abuzz, was the Japanese sensation coming to the Angels. Shohei Ohtani will be playing for the Anaheim Angels. So we'll have to wait and see how that works out with South Jersey's very well-loved Mike Trout. So once again, you can have a 1-2 punch of some very exciting baseball players playing on the West Coast. So we'll see what happens with that. Some other news before we get into Eagles talking, and you can call and talk about anything you want. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832 on Twitter at SST underscore sports, on Facebook at Saturday Sports Talk, and on email at SaturdaySportsTalk@gmail.com. The NCAA president is under fire for having a comment that was probably not well thought out, probably should not even been made, and could have very easily been just left alone. NCAA President Mark Emmert is under fire for comments made during a conference about whether or not LiAngelo Ball should have been at UCLA at all before his father, LeVar Ball, took him out of school. In case you've been under a rock and don't know who LiAngelo and LeVar Ball are, LiAngelo Ball is a basketball player at UCLA who was accused of shoplifting while in China, was suspended indefinitely from the program. His father, LeVar, took him out of school, and LeVar is a very, shall we say, outspoken father and believes that he can guide his sons on to greatness. So we'll see what happens with that. Emmert was a guest at the 2017 Learfield Intercollegiate Athletics Forum when LeVar's name was brought up. So when he recently announced that he was pulling LiAngelo out of the UCLA program, the move was made because the NCAA was being slow to rule on his eligibility, and one of the main reasons he went to UCLA was to play basketball. Emmert said that he should not have been at UCLA if he was only there to prepare for college as a pro basketball player. So why not just leave that subject alone? 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. A lot of things that have been going on in the world of sports. The Olympics are about 2 months away. And I said a few months back that it's going to be interesting to see how things play out because the Olympics are in South Korea. And with all of the saber-rattling and conversations between the president of North Korea and the president of the United States and their political issues, how will that impact one of the outstanding spectaculars when it comes to sports? That is the Winter Olympics. Now, I'm a fan of the Winter Olympics. I'm sure that some of you are fans as well, whether it's bobsled, luge, skeleton, curling, which I actually find to be a fascinating sport. The bobsled team this year, the bobsled competition has a new name, and that is Nigeria. There are some young ladies from Nigeria that made the team, and if I'm not mistaken, they are the first African country to make it to the Winter Olympics in bobsled. We mentioned that story a few weeks back, and so we look forward to watching, hopefully, the Winter Olympics. Hopefully there will be no issues politically that will stop the Winter Olympics from taking place. I've always enjoyed the Winter Olympics. I've always enjoyed the bobsled. Luge and skeleton, a little bit scary for me. I mean, being in a bobsled with one or three other guys or girls looks like it can be a lot of fun as a team. But luge, you're on your back going on a sled, probably going about 80 miles an hour. And on skeleton, you're on your stomach going about 80 miles an hour. I'm sure that's an adrenaline rush, but it's just one of those things where how do you control that sled? I was watching a little bit of the luge competition, the World Cup the other night. I think it was in Canada. It was Thursday night. And just seeing, you know, the way that sled moves makes you just scratch your head and wonder how it happens. You have speed skating, you have ice skating, you have skiing, ice hockey. There are a lot of sports in the Winter Olympics. So hopefully we won't have any issues when it comes to that. But one of the issues you will have when it comes to the Winter Olympics is you will not have Russia's participation. The IOC ruled the other day that Russia has been banned over the 2018 Olympics because of doping scandals. They announced on Tuesday it has suspended Russia's Olympic team from competing in the 2018 Winter Olympics over the country's doping scandal. The committee said it will allow athletes from the country to compete as neutrals at the Pyeongchang Games. The IOC suspended the Russian Olympic Committee and IOC member Alexander Zhukov and also banned Russian Deputy Prime Minister Vladimir Muko from the Olympics for life. Muko was the sports minister in 2014 and is head of the organizing committee of soccer's next World Cup. The Russian Olympic Committee was also fined $15 million to pay for the investigation and future anti-doping work. So there will be no Russia at the Winter Olympics. Now, there is a possibility that the athletes can compete as neutral athletes at the Olympics. What does that mean? From Rachel Axon at USA Today Sports, Russian athletes won't be allowed to compete in Pyeongchang under their own flag, but as neutral athletes, they will be designated as Olympic athletes from Russia and will wear a uniform with that designation. They will compete under the Olympic flag and the Olympic anthem will play at any ceremony. What criteria must athletes meet to compete? Russian athletes must be cleared by the Independent Testing Authority, which was recently established. It's unclear when that panel will issue decisions on who is eligible to compete. But the IOC criteria require that those athletes in consideration must have undergone all pre-games anti-doping testing recommended by a task force advising those efforts before Pyeongchang. We saw this, if I'm not mistaken, in the Summer Olympics 2 years ago in Rio. I don't remember the country, but there were a few athletes that were neutral. So this has gone on before, so this is nothing new. And this actually gives an opportunity to athletes who are not dirty, who are not failed any drug tests, who are not suspected of any illegal doping, to compete for personal pride. But not only that, I mean, it's probably more than that, meaning that you're an athlete. So let's say, for example, you are a figure skater and you're from Russia and you're part of the Russian team, but there are other members of the Russian team who are dirty, whether it's speed skating, bobsled, whatever sport in the Winter Olympic Games, and you're dirty. So now you see what happens with the IOC banning Russia, the entire Russian team. So you could have two apples in a barrel of 100 that go bad, and they cause problems for everyone. So now here you've trained and trained and trained for years. The Olympics every 4 years. So now you have a chance for pride of country, personal pride, pride of family, to go out there and compete. And some knucklehead decides to do something that everyone knows is wrong. So now you have to find a way to compete as a neutral. So, yes, it can be heartbreaking because you're not covered under the country's flag. But you can still go out and represent for yourself and for your family and for your fans. And possibly win a gold, a silver, or a bronze. So we'll see what happens with this. I'll keep up to date as much as possible over the next several weeks. And we look forward to the Winter Olympics. Hopefully the tensions, the political tensions will die down. Because like I said, I'm looking forward to the Winter Olympics. I mean, whether the United States team goes or not, I don't know if that decision has been made, if they're still meeting about that because of the tensions between the two countries, North Korea and the United States. So I will be looking forward to the Winter Olympics. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. So some other house cleaning that I need to do, and that is I mentioned the wagers that I had on the table between Dallas and the Eagles a few weeks back. So one of the participants in that wager did pay up. It was in a form of cash instead of the chicken, but that's fine because that allowed me to go get the chicken. The other gentlemen have not yet paid up. So now we have to track them down and get our chicken. It was something that, you know, it was a fun little bet. I'm not really upset with them. But my thing is, had I lost, I wonder how passionate they would have been about tracking me down to get their chicken had they won. I was pretty confident the Eagles were going to beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys were in bad shape at that game. They were leading at halftime, and then the Eagles just stepped on the gas and got away from them. So, you know, you guys need to go get my chickens, and let's get this over with. Keeping up with some other sports news, 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832 on this snowy day up and down the East Coast. I know there was snow in Texas yesterday. I was with some guys from San Antonio, and they were talking about how, you know, they got an inch and a half of snow, and people in San Antonio freaked out and lost their minds, didn't know what to do. And I think that happens a lot when you don't see snow that often. I think the last time they had snow in Texas was 1995. You know, we get snow in Philadelphia and the East Coast pretty much, what, every year, whether it's an inch or more or, you know, 30 inches. You know, we know how to deal with it. It may take some time. You have to drive slow and all those other things, but we know how to deal with it. But when you normally have 70-degree weather, I think I heard him say there was going to be 70 degrees in San Antonio next Saturday. So, you know, it's an aberration. You know, they were talking about it was a snowmageddon or a snowpocalypse. Down in San Antonio yesterday. So we hope everybody down in San Antonio and the surrounding cities in Texas and the southeast that are dealing with the snow, deal with it, take their time in traveling, you know, sit back, have some hot chocolate and some brisket and some barbecue and relax. And send me some brisket and barbecue. SaturdaySportsTalk@gmail.com if you want my address. The Philadelphia Black Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2017 was announced a few weeks ago. Philadelphia Black Basketball Hall of Fame, founded in 2016 by Del Greco Wilson, complements the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame and the Big Five Hall of Fame by enshrining great African-American coaches, players, contributors, and teams who deserve recognition. An induction ceremony is scheduled on Tuesday, December 26th at 11 a.m., at the Hero Community Center, 3439 North 17th Street. The Philadelphia Black Basketball Hall of Fame also has a permanent home at the Fadance Player Development Center, 3640 G Street. The inductees for enshrinement are pre-1970s, Earl the Pearl Monroe, Wayne Hightower, Bobby Lewis, Cliff Anderson, and Mike Banham. From the 1970s, Chubby Cox, Clarence Tillman, Gene Banks, Michael Brooks, and Louis Lloyd. From the 1980s, Lionel Simmons, Hank Gathers, Rico Washington, Dawn Staley, and Linda Page. From the 1990s, Rasheed Wallace, Rab Towns, Donnie Carr, Larry Kettner, and Rasheed Bey. And from the 2000s, Eddie Griffin, Maurice Rice, Sean Singletary, Kyle Lowry, and Jeff Jones. So congratulations to all the inductees. It's going to be great to see the Philadelphia Black Basketball Hall of Fame continue to pay tribute to those that are legends in Philadelphia. So I'm very happy for all of those. I don't know everyone on this list. I've met a few here and there, watched a lot of their careers, especially from the 80s and 90s and beyond. And so I just can't wait. And hopefully I'll be able to get over to their permanent home at the Fidantz Player Development Center, 3640 G Street, someday in the very near future. I will not be able to attend the induction ceremony, but I'm more than sure that the Philadelphia Hall of Fame recently inducted Donald Hunt, outstanding writer for the Philadelphia Tribune, will be there and will definitely give us a great report in the pages of the Philadelphia Tribune. So make sure you look out for that. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Also, keeping up with some other things in the world of sports, back over to boxing and sticking with the theme of Hall of Fame, Evander Holyfield and Bob Arum headline the 2018 inductees into the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame. Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame has announced its 25-member 2018 induction class, which includes President Donald J. Trump. The event will take place at the Claridge Radisson Hotel, located at Park Place in the Boardwalk in Atlantic City, June 1st through the 3rd, 2018. The inductees are, in the fighter category, Vander Holyfield, Hector Camacho, Bruce Seldon, Bobby Chez, Jeff Chandler, Ray Mercer, Vinny Paz, and Richie Cates. Trainer and cutman, Carmen Graziano, Philadelphia's Georgie Benton, and Ralph Citro. Non-participants, Bob Arum, Dan Duva, Diane Fisher, Cristiano, Ed Darien, Gene Williams, Joseph Pasquale, Jersey Joe Walcott, Bernard Fernandez, Dave Weinberg, Ray Bailey, Jose Suleiman, Mary Muhammad, Mark Edis, and President Trump. And the reason why I said Ed Darien's last name twice, that was his shtick when he was announcing ring fighters, whether it was at the Blue Horizon or anywhere in the world. A lot of times you know that boxing announcers have their own styles, and so that was his. He would always say, you know, Mike Tyson, Tyson. So we wish them all well. Some of those people on that list are no longer with us. And it's unfortunate they did not get their just due while they were living. But it's only the second year of the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame. So if it's a very well thought out concept and idea, and glad to see it flourishing. And so we wish them all well. Controversy, controversy, and more controversy when it comes to the NFL. A lot of things have been going on with the NFL lately. And one of them we talked about a few weeks ago when Jerry Jones was trying to stop Roger Goodell from having his contract extended. And it doesn't look like he has any success. According to ESPN, Roger Goodell signed a 5-year contract extension to remain the commissioner of the NFL. And are you ready for the details? A source told ESPN's Adam Schefter that the new contract would be worth $200 million over the life of the contract, about $40 million annually if the owners approve all the bonuses and all the incentives are met. The new deal runs through the 2023 season. The base salary of the new contract is in the single-digit millions, but roughly 85% of the total potential compensation package is from bonuses, which will be subject to ownership approval and validation. Six members of the NFL Compensation Committee, which have been granted permission to negotiate the extension, said it supported the signed contract in a letter to the owners. Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank, who heads the Compensation Committee, told the MMQB, he was relieved that Goodell had signed the deal. 40 million dollars annually based on bonuses and other criteria. Roger Goodell has earned $212.5 million since he was elected NFL commissioner in 2006 as Paul Tagliabue's replacement. The NFL paid Goodell nearly $32 million in fiscal year 2015, which was the last year for which public records exist. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. Now, I don't know if $200 million makes a lot of sense for Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell has had a lot of issues lately, whether it's been Deflategate and New England Patriots, whether it's been dealing with other issues, as we've seen recently with social justice and Colin Kaepernick, whether it's been fines and penalties that he has levied on questionable hits. So there are a lot of issues that come out of this with Roger Goodell being given $200 million, assuming that he meets all the incentives and bonus criteria. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I wonder what you think about it. I am a fan of the NFL. I know there were boycotts and protests because of the issues surrounding Colin Kaepernick, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. Now, Roger Goodell does a lot. He has to keep a very good product out there, secure advertisements for the product, you know, keep the product visible, keep the product profitable, and keep it clean. He's done an okay job. I won't say he's done a great job, but he's done an okay job. I think some of the punishments that he's been given for players with questionable hits are a little bit excessive. I don't think he's done enough to really get that kind of money. So we'll talk more about that. 215-490-9832. It's halftime already here on SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information, another hour to go. We'll be back right after this.
Saturday morning sports talk show. It's one of the hottest sports talk shows in America.
And welcome back to SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I'm your host and producer, Troy Wilmore, talking about anything and everything in the sports world. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. College football awards, a lot of them going out there to well-deserving individuals. And so we will get to that real quick before we jump into Eagles talk. The Davey O'Brien Award went to Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield, who has thrown for 4,340 yards and 41 touchdowns while leading the Oklahoma Sooners to the College Football Playoff. Also won the AP's Player of the Year Award. Jim Thorpe Award, Alabama defensive back Minkah Fitzpatrick is the top defensive back. Lou Groza Award, Utah kicker Matt Gay won the Lou Groza Award, given to the top place kicker. Interesting that award is given out to a team that's not even really in any conversation for the championship. He's the first Utah player to win the award and third consecutive winner from the Pac-12 Conference. Outstanding Wide Receiver Award, Fred Biletnikoff Award, goes to Oklahoma State Wide Receiver James Washington. Top Running Back Doak Walker Award goes to Stanford's running back Bryce Love. The Ray Guy Award is Texas punter Michael Dixon to the top punter in the nation. Outland Trophy, best interior lineman, defensive tackle from Houston, Ed Oliver. Chuck Bednarik Award for the top defensive player is also Mr. Fitzpatrick, beating out defensive end from NC State Bradley Chubb and Georgia linebacker Raquan Smith. Fitzpatrick is the second Crimson Tide player to win the award. Jonathan Allen won it last year. Maxwell Award, Baker Mayfield also won that. There are a few other awards that are out there. The Broyles Awards, top offensive coordinator is from Clemson, Tony Elliott. Scott Frost, who is going to Nebraska, was named the Home Depot Coach of the Year after leading University of Central Florida, 12-0 record, and the American Athletic title. And a few other awards running around. Heisman is next week. A lot of people think that Baker Mayfield will win that running away. I have a problem with that because a lot of times the Heisman is not just about playing on the field. It's also about your character and playing and the way you conduct yourself off the field. It is a football-based award, but the Heisman is the pinnacle when it comes to awards in college football. And the way Baker Mayfield acted a few weeks ago, grabbing his private parts and making gestures were inappropriate. He apologized. He was unfortunately suspended for being the captain in senior day, and he was emotional in the press conference. The team did take his jersey out as a symbolic gesture. And I think something like that can definitely stop someone from voting for you as Heisman Player of the Year. But I think that his stats definitely do make him pretty much a lock. Who knows? It could be a close vote. So we'll see what happens next week. All right, let's get to it. Eagles talk. So the last time we left you, we pretty much told you that the Bears game with the Eagles was not going to be a trap game. The Eagles were going to come out and do exactly what the Eagles had to do, and that was step all over the Chicago Bears. Final score in that game was 31-3. The game was pretty much out of control by the end of the second quarter going into halftime. I don't think the Eagles were ever in any danger of losing that game. They let some of the second teamers in to get some reps, also let your first team get well rested. And that's what I said that can give this team some success is to go out there, smash every team in front of them. You jump on them, you get a big lead, you let your starters rest, let your second teamers play, let them get that live feel of playing, and then you'll be able to be well rested going into the playoffs. So whether you have the first round bye, you have home field advantage, it still gives your guys rest going in to more games in the season. So normally you have 16 games plus preseason. You don't really play a lot in preseason. but 16 games of 60-minute football. But if you're beating teams convincingly by the middle of the third quarter and you put your substitutes in, that allows you to have more legs and more stamina going into the later part of the season. Well, last week we knew that wasn't going to happen. We also knew that last week against Seattle, Sunday Night Football was going to be a challenge. Seattle's a very good team. Russell Wilson's a very good quarterback. They have some good players around him. That crowd in that stadium, they call it the 12th man because it is so hard to communicate with the rest of the players on the team that gives them that home field advantage. I think it's the design of the stadium, the intimacy of the fans, the loudness of the fans being into it. It gives them that advantage. Now, it didn't appear that that was a problem as far as the Eagles playing. I don't remember them having too many false start penalties. And in case you don't know, a false start penalty is anybody on the offense moving before the ball is snapped. You're allowed to go in motion, but you have to stop. But if mostly it happens on the offensive line, every now and again it could be a receiver. So you hear false start number 72 on offense, 5-yard penalty, still first down, second down, whatever the case may be. That happens because you're anticipating the ball being hiked and you want to be ready for the defensive player to come across and engage you. So, you know, the call could be we're going to go, you know, Liberty Bell 27 on 2. And if you're anticipating that second snap count and the snap count doesn't come when you think, you're offsides. So therefore, I don't remember that happening in last week's game. So we had some other issues that did come up in the game, and it hurt. It hurt a little bit, losing 24-10, a game that the Eagles could have won, the Eagles probably should have won. The officiating was just awful as usual. Coaching also is a factor. You know, when it's fourth and goal, fourth and inches, fourth and one, a lot of times Doug Peterson throughout the season went for it and converted those fourth downs. Unfortunately, a few times in this game, he did not. And so it hurt a little bit. But I also think it motivates the Eagles now staying out on the West Coast instead of making that trip all the way back east and then going all the way back out west, letting your body stay acclimated to that 3-hour time difference and staying in the California area. A lot of people think that it could be a problem because you're not doing the same things in the same spaces. I don't believe that. I really don't. Now, granted, I am not a professional athlete. I've never been a professional athlete. However, I still think that these men on this football team are special. They will find a way to adapt. And tomorrow against the Rams are a very good team right now with a record of 9-3. They're trying to get in the playoffs as well. But it's something about this team that will allow them to have a different type of work week, if you will, this past week. Yes, they're not sleeping in the same bed. They're not going to the same restaurants, not having the same way that they drive to the office and to the practice facility down at NovaCare and do the same things. I don't think that will have an impact. Unfortunately, they're not with their families. Some of them probably did have their families come out and enjoy California. Maybe a mini vacation. So they could probably be a little more relaxed. And I think that could help them. You know, you're not in the cold of Philadelphia. It's snowing right now. Had they come back to Philly, they would have missed the snow. They probably would have gone out on Thursday. And so they had time away from some of the Philadelphia media. I know some of the local beat reporters are out there and asking them questions, attending the press conferences and things of that nature. So that's not that big of a deal. But they got a chance to see Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles lives in California. He was out there working with the running backs. It looks like his arm is healed. He's still going through therapy with his knee. He hasn't made a decision yet if he's going to come back next year. I think he will. From everything I heard, he does not want to have his season, his career, end the way that it did with the broken arm and the torn ACL in his knee. So he's rehabbing now. He was out there working with running backs coach Deuce Daly and the running backs, helping them with some things. So that could have given this team a big boost. Kobe Bryant addressed the team yesterday. And so I think that the Rams could be in trouble. There's also the conversation that the Rams fans are going to be outnumbered by Eagles fans. Eagles fans travel well. Eagles fans are represented throughout the country. So a lot of people are saying this could be a home game, just like it was when the Eagles played the Chargers. But I also think that the Eagles had a chance for maybe a few hours or maybe a day to go back and realize what was at stake last week and know they missed a golden opportunity. And I said this before, you don't want to get in the habit of having other teams do your dirty work. What I mean by that is last week, Washington played Dallas. Had Washington beat Dallas, the Eagles would have won the NFC East. So when they woke up, or if they stayed up and watched the game on Thursday, they realized, okay, Dallas beat Washington, we can win the NFC East. On Sunday, we beat Seattle. So that didn't happen. So now it's more urgent for the Eagles to go out and play well, beat the Rams, and then the last three games of the season may or may not mean anything. Depends on how other teams play tomorrow and going forward. So, hypothetically, Eagles can be 11-2 tomorrow in control of winning home field advantage throughout the playoffs. People are talking about Minnesota playing well, and could you imagine how that would look if Minnesota won home field advantage? Everything would have to come through them, the NFC Championship game in Minnesota, the Super Bowl is in Minnesota. It could all work out for them. But I don't think that's going to happen. They have a young quarterback there, a young team. Yes, they're playing well, but I also think that this Eagles team is a little different. I was talking to some people yesterday about it and how just the leadership of Carson Wentz, just in his second year, how that is very unique. You also have, unfortunately, the injuries of Darren Sproles and Jason Peters, how that has not necessarily taken anything away from his team. Darren Sproles, yes, because he was one of those sparks on special teams, like I talked about earlier, all three sides of the football, offense, defense, special teams. Jason Peters, yes, all-pro, Hall of Fame bound, left tackle, is gone out, but he's still around the team, rallying them. But Vitae has played well left tackle. So now you have to wonder, this team being as good as it is right now, will they continue to get better? And I think they will. I think that the Rams will have a problem tomorrow. I really think the Rams will have a problem. You also had that conversation, the number one and number two quarterbacks taken in the draft a year ago, and how that is the comparisons and the way they're playing, what they're doing, yada, yada, yada. Storyline, storyline, storyline. That's what people are going for. I'm not going to predict the score, but what I really want to see the Eagles do, like I said, is just come out firing all cylinders. I want them to just come out, destroy the Rams, get well rested, get ready for that flight back from L.A. to Philly. You got the Giants, who are in a world of mess right now. Play them next Sunday at 1:00. Not looking past the Rams. You never want to do that. But, you want to be able to control your destiny. You want to be able to win. Don't have to worry about anybody else winning or losing. Win the NFC East. Hope for the best that other teams lose so you can get that home field advantage, get that number one seed in the NFC. The Giants fired their coach, the quarterback issues, they don't have any receivers. We don't have to worry about that. The Giants did beat the Chiefs, I believe, 2 weeks ago or last week. So the Giants are not giving up. But like I said, you don't want to look past that. And then you don't want to look past the Giants to the Raiders and then the Cowboys on New Year's Eve. But you do want to have a great season. And I think, this is the second loss in the season. We lost to the Chiefs earlier on. Chiefs are having problems. This team has played well. We won the close games. We blew out some good teams. I just think that, you know, the Eagles right now are going to turn it around and really get back to where they should have been. So, going over a little bit of my notes from last week's game, when it comes to the Eagles and Seahawks game, after Seattle went up 3-0, Wentz had that run on that third and three, and then it was a penalty. So that was a good play for them. A nice run by Wentz. Then a good play by Brandon Graham on Seattle. They had a 3rd and 7, and a big sack minus 6 yards allowed them to punt. Then that next play was the play to Aguilar that was too high, incomplete. A lot of people thought that Aguilar probably could have gone in and scored on that one, which could have been something. And so, you know, costly penalties is what gets you all the time. And so when teams don't play well, it could be because of that. So that is what happened there. Russell Wilson was 82% of the team's offense. And so he had definitely, he was that straw that stirred the drink for Seattle. Then they went up 10-0, end of the first quarter. The Eagles had that streak of no touchdown in the first quarter since 2002 New York Giants. So the Giants had a record for a very long time, and the Eagles defense did well up until that point when Russell Wilson had that pass to Jimmy Graham. Eagles came back and went down the field, 26-yard field goal, made a score 10-3. They held them on defense. Unfortunately, Eagles were unable to score before halftime, and then the Eagles did come back and receive the ball. So had the Eagles scored, it would have been tied up, and then they would have received the ball for the second half. This is where the third quarter, when they had that call against Torrey Smith. Now, according to what I was watching and what the announcers were saying, it was definitely a catch, but there was a question of whether or not it was a first down. The way I looked at it, it was a first down. I don't know how the officials did not think it was a first down. You know, but hey, they're officials. Wentz converted when it was 4th and inches. So that was a big one. And then he unfortunately went on to fumble. So that was one of the big plays of the game. And then Seattle got the ball back, scored 17-3. Eagles did not really give up at this point. This was that next drive where you had the incomplete to Zach Ertz on a 3rd and 3. And then you go for it on 4th and 3. I think they were in field goal territory. Doug Peterson just rolled dice and came up snake eyes, did not convert that 4th down. You know, it's, I don't know. I don't want to second guess his play calling. Why not run the ball more? You can say, why not throw the ball more? Why not have some gadget plays? I'm not going to do that to Doug Peterson. I just think that some things you can question. And I mean, 4th and 3 on the road, that's a tough one to convert. You know, 4th and 1, 4th and inches, yes. But when you need 3 yards with a team like Seattle, a good defense, that's a tough one that you're going to have to try to find another way. End of the third quarter, everything looked fine. Eagles came back and scored 17-10. And then it was the flip play to Davis. That was a questionable call on the 3rd and 9. They went down and scored 24-10. 4th and 6, I mean, you had a series where it was a kickoff, then a few plays, and then 3 back-to-back incompletes, and definitely on the 4th in six, and that was pretty much the ball game. And so now you have the Rams. It's going to be, like I said, interesting to see what happens when it comes down to the Rams tomorrow. The Rams are obviously playing well, fighting for a playoff spot. A lot of teams now, end of the season with a few games left on the docket, four games left just about for everybody. Only time will tell. You know, only time will tell the playoff picture and what will happen with this team. You have to wonder what will happen on the AFC side if you care about the AFC teams. The schedule for tomorrow is as follows. Colts with a record of 3-9 against the Bills, 6-6. 6-6 still can get you in the playoffs if you play well. You win your last four games. You know, you'd be 10-6, maybe win one and lose, win three, lose one. You'd be 9-7. It's a possibility you could make it. Vikings-Panthers is a big game tomorrow, first game at 1 o'clock, 10-12 versus the Panthers at 8-4. And this is where the Eagles don't need to watch any games tomorrow. The Eagles really need to stay away from their phones, tablets, or whatever. Get to the stadium. Just get relaxed. Listen to your music. Don't be concerned about Vikings and Panthers, because you can get caught up in being excited that the Panthers have a chance to possibly beating the Vikings, which would make it a little bit easier for you to win the first seed in the playoffs for the NFC. And you really can't control that, you know, and why invest a lot of mental energy and emotional anguish into that? It could go the other way. I mean, Vikings could mess around and win a close game, lose a close game, whatever. You also have an AFC Bengals 5-7 against the Bears 3-9. The Browns 0-12 against the Packers 6-6. Packers are definitely favorite to win that game. 49ers and Texans. Texans would have been a better team, but people did not, unfortunately, stay healthy. Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. So the Texans are 4-8. Long shot to make the playoffs. Against the 49ers, 2-10. Chiefs and Raiders, AFC West fight here, 6-6 for both teams. They also play tomorrow. Buccaneers, 4-8. They're a long shot to make the playoffs. Lions were playing well earlier. They have a long shot as well. Don't think they'll make it either. They're 6-6. A game for the NFC East that will probably help the Eagles a little bit, and probably not. Cowboys and Giants. Cowboys 6-6. Giants 2-10. Giants may play hard because it's the Cowboys. Everybody hates the Cowboys. You never know. The Giants may just say, you know what, let's just get out of this season. Let's just move on. You know, new coach there right now that may not be there next year. A lot of players probably looking to get out of New York / New Jersey. So, once again, the Eagles have to win their own game. Titans playing well against the Cardinals, 8-4 for the Titans. Cardinals 5-7. So the Titans are looking for a playoff spot. The Jets are 5-7. Broncos 3-9. Both teams stink. Broncos were looked upon as possibly being an AFC West competitor earlier on in the season, but not so much right now. Chargers play Washington. Chargers are 6-6, still with a shot for the playoffs. Redskins are 5-7, no shot. Seahawks and Jaguars. Here's a good game tomorrow. Jacksonville's 8-4, and the Seahawks are 8-4. Jacksonville is definitely trying to make a playoff push, Seattle as well. So two teams fighting for something, playing against each other tomorrow, definitely can be right there. And Steelers-Ravens tomorrow night, 10-2 Steelers, Ravens 7-5. Steelers are definitely looking for a home field advantage for the playoffs, and they're playing with a big, big chip on their shoulder. I'm sure you saw the game between the Steelers and Bengals on Monday. You had Juju Smith-Schuster, who has a one-game suspension for a legal hit on Vontaze Burfict, but he got called for taunting for standing over him after the great hit, led with his shoulder, not with his head. Burfict, like you always hear the terminology, with your head on a swivel. Burfict wasn't looking, and Juju Smith just laid him out, but unfortunately he stood over top of him. And that's where he got the suspension. So, and then Ryan Shazier got hurt, spinal contusion, possible surgery this week. So they're worried more about him, of course, as a person, not so much as a football player. He is the heart and soul of that defense, as has always been the case with the Steelers over the last several years. Linebackers have been the heart and soul of Steelers defense. So they're playing for him tomorrow, 10-2, Ravens 7-5. So the Steelers are looking to wrap up some playoff positioning there. Patriots and Dolphins 10-2, Dolphins 5-7. That's Monday night snoozer. I don't think there's going to be any reason to watch that unless you like the Dolphins jerseys and you hate the Patriots. So we'll talk more about that. 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. End of the third quarter. One more quarter to go here on SST Saturday Sports Talk.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
This is Bernard the Executioner Hopkins, the undisputed middleweight champion of the world. You are listening to the Saturday Sports Talk Show with Troy Wilmore.
And welcome back to SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. I'm your host and producer, Troy Wilmore. Taking your calls, taking your comments, 215-490-9832. On Facebook at Saturday Sports Talk and at Twitter, SST underscore sports. Email Saturday Sports Talk @gmail.com. You just heard my man, the champ, Bernard the Executioner Hopkins, give me that drop there. It's actually one from several years ago, but I held on to it. Need to get him to cut me a new one. But I think his title might be too long because he's president of Golden Boy Productions East. He's former light heavyweight champion, former middleweight champion, you know, but all around a great guy I've known for 20 plus years. And he is actually part of our giving back segment for today. So I was on my way into work a few weeks ago, the Monday before Thanksgiving, and drove past a local car wash. And I saw this Jeep, and I said, it looks like B's Jeep. B as in short for Bernard, B-Hop. And I called him on the phone. He said, yeah, he said, that is my truck. He said, I'm giving away turkeys. Why don't you come by? So I swing by, come around the corner, and he's out there giving away turkeys on Thanksgiving week. And so he was hanging out and giving away turkeys, and everybody was happy to receive one. He gave away, I think it was 500 turkeys. I think he did 250 in Philly and 250 over in Camden. So, you know, here's a person who doesn't have to do things like that. Giving back to the community, continues to give back to the community. An all-around great guy. I'm actually looking at one of his pictures now. I think it's the one where he has the IBF and USBA middleweight championships from a lot of years ago. But Bernard was right there taking pictures, signing autographs with people, taking selfies. And so a big up to B-Hop for giving back on Thanksgiving week. Continues to do well in the community, has not forgotten where he's come from, and continues to be an example of, you may have started your life on the wrong side of the tracks, but you definitely still have time to turn your life around and be a positive role model to society and show people that you can make a mistake, but only make that mistake one time. You know, his story is well told, needs to be a movie or a book about just how he got into the street life and how he did his time at Greaterford, the challenges he had there, being told by the guards or the warden that, you know, I'll see you again and you'll be back, and not really trying to motivate him to turn his life around. But he was blessed to turn his life around. And the time that he went back to Greaterford is when they put a mural of him up on the wall. I believe it was the lifers there that painted the mural of Bernard. And so he has turned his life around, you know. And so I'm very thankful that I have a great friendship with him, that we continue to stay in touch with each other. I'm actually putting together a lot of the old Johnny Sample interviews that I have of Bernard, and putting them on CD and giving them to him so he can give to his wife and daughter. I mean, they were there for a lot of the interviews anyway, but that's just something that his, you know, children, grandchildren, friends and family can have for the rest of their lives. So as I go through the piles and piles of cassette tapes from the 90s and 2000s of B-Hop's interviews with the late, great Johnny Sample, my good friend, you know, and letting Bernard know I have him, and seeing the joy that he has when I give them the CDs, and the fact that he's part of the show as well. I actually played the closing for him, and he looked at me like I was crazy, because that was 16 years ago when he beat Felix Trinidad. And the fact that that has always been part of my closing theme montage is something that I'm proud of. And so, you know, he's part of the giving back segment for this week. So I thank him for that. It was cold that day. Got to do this stuff in the summertime, man. Give away turkeys in the summer and tell them people to freeze it. Just kidding. One of the things I want to tell you before we sign off here in a few more minutes are about some of our great advertisers here on SST Saturday Sports Talk. And one of them is Integrity Real Estate Services. Integrity Real Estate Services understands that buying or selling a home is more than just a transaction. It's a life-changing experience. That's why their team of highly seasoned real estate professionals, they're dedicated to providing exceptional, personalized service for all of their clients. They take great pride in the relationships they build and always work relentlessly on the client's behalf to help them achieve their real estate goals. Their philosophy is simple. Clients come first. They pledge to be in constant communication with their clients, keeping them fully informed throughout the entire buying or selling process. They believe that if you're not left with an amazing experience, they have not done their job. They don't measure success through achievements or awards, but through the satisfaction of their clients. I'm telling you from firsthand knowledge and interaction, the house that I sit in now, the house that my wife and I purchased through Integrity Real Estate Services, They did not pressure us one bit. They constantly communicated with us, let us look at as many houses as we wanted to. There was never any rush. From start to finish, A++ level community service. Customer service. I'm so passionate about it. I want to put a helmet on right now and go play football for Integrity Real Estate Services. That's how much I enjoy telling you about them. The fine staff, 215-849-1111, 215-849-1111. And coming up in 2018, they have a lot of great seminars, whether it's about credit, first-time home buyers, other services that they will provide. They will tell you all about it through SST Saturday Sports Talk. I'm telling you, you're buying a house, Integrity Real Estate Services. You're selling a house, Integrity Real Estate Services. 215-849-1111.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Just about another 18 minutes before the end of the show, and have to go outside and deal with the snow. No rhyming intended, it just happened to work that way. You know, it's interesting to look at the NBA and what's going on with them and how the Sixers are playing and how other things are working out, teams making trades, and just seeing what's going on when it comes to the standings for the NBA and how things are working. So we just have to continue to look at the Sixers and watch them continue to play well, continue to learn. So right now they're in the middle of the Atlantic Division on the Eastern Conference. Boston's at 22-5, Toronto's at 16-7, Sixers are at 13-11, Knicks are 12-12, and Brooklyn dead last, 10-14. In the Central, Cleveland 18-8, Milwaukee 14-10, Indiana 15-11, Detroit 14-11, Chicago's 4-20. The Bulls have fallen way down since their dominance in the 90s. In the Southeast, it's Washington, as my screen moves. I don't know why my screen just moved, but my screen moved. Washington 14-11, Miami's 11-13, Orlando 11-16, Charlotte 9-15, Atlanta 5-19. Going out west, Golden States are the beast of the West in the Pacific Division, 21-6. Lakers are 9-15, Clippers are 8-15, Phoenix 9-18, Sacramento 8-17. Golden State may have the Pacific Division wrapped up. Let's see, it's 27 games, 82-game season, got about another 66 games. They could have the Pacific Division wrapped up probably by the All-Star break, to be quite honest. I mean, if they continue to play well and other teams are playing as bad as they are, who knows? I mean, they probably won't have it wrapped up, but they could be well in control of winning another Pacific Division title. Southwest, Houston's playing well, 19-4. San Antonio's right on their heels at 18-8. New Orleans, 13-13. Memphis, 8-17. Dallas, 7-19. In the Northwest Division, Minnesota and Denver are close. Minnesota, 15-11. Denver, 14-11. Portland, 13-11. Utah, 13-13. And Oklahoma City, 11 wins, 13 losses. So as it stands right now, by conference, the Sixers are the eighth-ranked team. They're up one game over New York in the Eastern Conference. And in the West, Houston and Golden State are tied. Houston's actually at 1, and Golden State is at 2. But they're no games back of each other because, technically, Houston has 2 fewer victories but also 2 fewer losses. But Golden State has 2 more victories. San Antonio 3, Minnesota 4, Denver 5, Portland 6, Utah 7, New Orleans 8. So that is how the NBA looks right now. It's going to be interesting to see what goes on for the rest of the season. Spurs are putting things back together. Tony Parker looks like he's going to be healthy. Kawhi Leonard's going to be healthy. Greg Popovich, one of the great coaches in the NBA, is getting that team right where he wants them to be. And will probably, once again, be a contender for another NBA World Championship. One of the sports that I enjoy ever since I was a little boy is billiards, shooting pool. And so this week was the Moscone Cup. And it's Team Europe versus Team USA. The first team to win 11 matches wins the Moscone Cup. And unfortunately, for the eighth straight year, and this year at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, Team Europe, as they sit and stand in the middle of this pool table, are celebrating an 11-4 thumping slaughter, whatever terminology you want to use for dominating the United States in the Moscone Cup. It actually happened. They actually had the Moscone Cup on Facebook Live this week, and I tuned in a few times and watched it, and it was just simply outstanding. And they will be playing at Alexandra Palace next year. 2008, Europe won. 2009, the United States won. And then, like I said, the last eight have gone to the European team. It's going to be in London next year, December 4th through the 7th. I actually would like to go to that. That would actually be something to enjoy. The Moscone Cup is a very nice format for shooting pool. And I actually enjoy watching it. I enjoy playing pool. I don't play it as much as I wanted to as a youngster. But I do enjoy watching the game. I always watch this on TV. There are local tournaments that hopefully in 2018 I'll be able to attend. I was actually asked to play on a team, and I'm not that good. But I was told that I could play and learn more. And just give me something to do. And who knows, maybe in 2018 I will be able to take up that challenge, if you will. And in case you didn't know, the Moscone Cup is an annual nine ball pool tournament between Europe and the United States that's been going on since 1994. It's actually been compared to the Ryder Cup in golf. So, and it's named after, of course, Americans. Willie Moscone, if I'm not mistaken, Willie Moscone is from Philadelphia. The late great, yes, that is correct. The late great Willie Moscone. And one of the things you may not know about Willie Moscone, between the years of 1941 and 1957, he won the World Straight Pool Championship an unmatched 15 times. Willie Moscone, one of the greats, and you often go back. In the early days of ESPN, they would show matches between Willie Moscone and Minnesota Fats, a friendly rivalry between the two. And so the Moscone Cup is named after Philadelphia's own Willie Moscone. It's almost like a tag team approach to nine ball. So, for example, if I'm shooting, I'm on one team and I have a partner and person A has a partner, you know, they rack them, I break. If I sink a ball, then my partner shoots. My partner has to be aware that I get the next shot if he makes the ball, and vice versa. And it's just a fun time. But unfortunately, the American team did not win. It actually hurt my heart to see that Europe won again. But I think that they'll turn it around next year and go to Europe and really take hold of the Moscone Cup, bring it back to the United States, and hopefully do that on foreign soil. So we will look forward to that next year. There were some notes in boxing that I had, and of course, as always happens, my notes like to move around on me. There were a couple fights that happened recently, and I want to touch on those. And that is Sergey Kovalev won his fight was going back for his light heavyweight championship and won with a second-round knockout, vicious knockout of his opponent. And there's too many notes to try to find at this late juncture of the show. But Kovalev puts his name right back in the hat to try to unify the light heavyweight division. There was a brutal, brutal knockout in like 30 seconds in one of the lighter weight classes. And it was, I mean, that punch was, it was textbook. I believe it was a left uppercut. And like I said, my notes disappeared, but it was an outstanding punch. And that young man looks to unify the division as well. And it was also a fun one with a Philadelphia-based fighter. And that was from boxing promoter Russell Peltz, where he was asked to have a fighter fight on an upcoming fight card. And the guy was like, okay, let me look at some video. Okay, fine, let's go. And the guy took the fight on very short notice and won the fight. You know, he was not, matter of fact, I'll read it straight from the Facebook page. How about that? So J. Russell Peltz on December 1st put out the following. I got a call from Robert Diaz of Golden Boy Promotions on November 21st asking if I had a 130-pounder to step in and box Jose Wonderboy Lopez of Puerto Rico on November 30th in Oxon Hill, Maryland. So that's 9 days' notice. Lopez was 19-1, one draw, 13 KOs, known as a big puncher. So Russell offered up Avery Sparrow, 8-1, and three KOs of Philadelphia, without even asking Avery. So that was interesting enough. Diaz wanted someone with more experience, but he told him not to worry. He called Avery to make sure he was in some kind of shape. About an hour later, Avery came to my office, watched some video of the wild swinging Bahar hitting Lopez, watched about 20 seconds and told him to make the fight. Asked him if he wanted to see more video. He said no. And skipping down, Lopez had 21 fights. Avery went to the MGM National Harbor Casino that Tuesday, met them. The fight was on Thursday and won a 10-round decision and shook up the world, 96-94, 96-94, 97-93. Sparrow lost two rounds, but he won the fight. So Lopez probably thought he had just a tune-up fight, if you will. And then it's just one of those things where Avery Sparrow had nothing to lose and everything to gain. Avery Sparrow was 8-1 with three KOs, now 9-1. Lopez 19-2. So Avery, with a little bit of experience, but that Philadelphia heart, just came in there and said, hey, you know, why not go and win the fight? And he did. So congratulations to Russell Peltz. And if I'm not mistaken, today is also Russell's birthday. So happy birthday to boxing promoter Russell Peltz. And we about to wind down today's program. One more of our advertisers I like to tell you about, and that is Party Savers. Party Savers will provide a DJ and full quality sound at an affordable price. The company is a DJ dispatch service. When a person needs a DJ, whether it's a big or small event, all they have to do is call one number and Party Savers will handle everything else. They offer several different DJ packages, allowing customers to pick and choose what they can afford. They will discuss with you an array of affordable packages and find a package to serve your every need for that special occasion. Party Savers, 215-315-3336, 215-315-3336. Use Party Savers for every music, lighting, and sound need. I've used Party Savers. I've recommended Party Savers to people. They have been very impressed, very excited that the services provided were top-notch, and they're telling people about Party Savers. So from the SST family, I want you to tell people about Party Savers. If you need live sound, a DJ, or lighting for any event, give Arnold and Nazla Mitchell a call. Party Savers, 215-315-3336. Tell them SST Saturday Sports Talk told you to call. That's just going to about wrap it up for us here on SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. As my mentor, one of many, Georgie Woods, used to say, drive to stay alive. You know, the snow is out there. The roads may or may not have been treated today. But take your time. You know, if you have to be somewhere, leave early. You know, plan your route. try to stay on the snow emergency routes where they have probably treated the roads or at least trying to move some of the snow. I'm not really sure how much snow has fallen yet here in the Philadelphia Delaware Valley area, but take your time. I want to have you right back here next week listening and calling. I want you to watch the Eagles tomorrow, the Sixers, the Flyers. I want you to watch everything. I want you to be with your family in this holiday season, away from the hospital and not having any broken bones and a bent up car, and, you know, drive to stay alive. That's what I want you to do. So take your time out there today. Enjoy yourself. Watch a lot of sports. Get ready for next week. I'll be back here same time next Saturday on Time for an Awakening Media with SST Saturday Sports Talk. Most interesting 2 hours of sports news and information. Until then, take care.
The mission has been completed.
You don't want to let anything sneak through the cracks. You don't want to forget anything. You don't want to miss anything. You want to be perfect on that day. Because in life, you don't get a lot of chances to be a champion.
No one can do it better.
I have to compliment Troy on the job he did.
One of the best in the business.
The only thing I want people to realize is that when you fight a Philadelphia fighter that has a Philadelphia heart, you cannot break their spirit. The business couldn't break my spirit. The ghetto couldn't break my spirit. The penitentiary couldn't break my spirit. That's a man, not an athlete. I'm a man first.